Okay, it's 6 o'clock and we'll call our meeting to order and welcome everyone this evening. Our first item of business is the approval of the agenda for June 23rd, 2026. We do have one item that we'd like to add, please, and it's going to be an in-camera item, contract negotiations, section 22-2E. Could I have a motion to approve as amended, please?
I make that motion, amendment.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Next item is the acceptance of the minutes of June 10th, 2026. Are there any changes required to these minutes? Hearing none, we will accept the minutes as presented. Next item is business arising from the minutes. Anything to come before council this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to operations five. 5A, green cart replacement options, and that's Danielle Smith, our waste diversion officer. Welcome.
Yeah, if it's so public in here, yeah.
I'm not, but I'm nervous. So my supervisor and I prepared the staff report. I'm assuming that everybody had an opportunity to look at the recommendations. And I guess we're here to, I'm here to answer any questions you may have within those recommendations.
So we do have, there are a couple of options that have been included in the staff report. And I see Deputy Warden, you have your mic on, so you can begin the discussion.
So before we make any, we can discuss the what we've read, correct? And asked you what, any questions?
Yeah, questions.
Yeah, if you're not, any questions as to the motion that you want to make at this point.
What our recommendations are.
So when I reviewed it and went through all the background and everything, what I'd like to see, and it's the discussion to have here, is I'm fine with alternate one other than the second point, that I'll request for additional carts beyond one. What do you mean by that? Additional carts beyond one. If a household wants two, they get one free and then they pay for the second one.
So within that time frame, whatever that time frame would be, Marcia is online, I believe, as well.
Okay.
And that is the way that I understood that as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess the concern I have is that it might be more than one green cart during the winter if they're broken by the haulers. My thoughts was that if we have confirmation from the hauler or confirmation from the card, having the card itself showing that it is broken and we're replacing that, I don't feel there should be a timeline onto it. But I do agree that if a household or residence or civic number has more than one, they're responsible to pay for that second green card if they're required to.
Yes. So with that first one, the free of charge within a certain period of time, and if it's broken, I guess I need a little bit of clarification from council as to what that would look like. You know, are we still talking that they bring it in to turn it in? Or is it the way we've been doing it, where we actually collect it?
I would be fine with either one. If we collect it or we have confirmation from the hauler that states they broke it, or I don't know which way it is, but I feel that a resident could have two within a 12-month period. However, if it's not their fault and it's the fault of the hauler or the snowplow or something, I don't feel that it's right that we're charging them.
No, that's a good point. I'm just going to look to Nicole because she has her hand up. I'm not sure
Counselor Sutherland and Garcia both have.
Okay.
All right, thank you for that. Deputy Warden, are you finished, are you? Okay, so we'll go before Counselor Richardson, if he doesn't mind. I see Ms. Dion is with us. Do you have your hand up as well? Okay, do you want to start first and then we'll go to Counselor Sutherland and then Counselor Richardson?
Are you speaking to me, Penny? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, so I think I'd like to wait to hear maybe some more of the discussion, but we're kind of starting with alternative one, but in a way there's an alternative before that, and that is to continue as is. So Danielle has several options in here with some indications in terms of staff's preferred one, which is of course to continue as is, or alternative three, to not, you know, not charge at all. So I just wanted to be clear that all points are open for discussion, but that alternatives one through three aren't the only, the sort of alternative number one is to continue as is.
Okay, thank you. Counselor Sutherland? Counselor Sutherland was actually first.
Yeah. I'm kind of in agreement with alternative one, but I don't agree to charging residents money for a replacement one. If it's been broken, we ask these people to recycle for us. And it's done, they do it on our ask, and I don't think we should be asking them to have a cart replaced once it's been broken. And in saying that, no, if you want two per household, then yes, you have to pay for the second one. And I am in agreement with them paying for, they want an additional one. But if it's broken, I don't think there should be a question that we should not be charging that person. I'm sorry. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Counselor Sutherland. CEO, you wanted to respond?
Yeah, I'm just looking at the option one there, but I think says here one green card replacement will be provided free of charge within whatever the years you're saying, and only the second one, if they want a second one, is charged.
So
we're not charging for the first one.
And is that's the case right now as well, correct? That anytime there's a new dwelling,
if there's a new,
do we automatically, we do automatically.
I can highlight that if that helps.
Sure.
For a new dwelling, automatic, it's free, because within what I've learned since I've been here is that it should be, your first one is free. And then after that, there were fees in place for residents to pay for your replacement or additional cart. So I think that, like the broken cart, I have to say I understand where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to differentiate who broke it and that, but if it's broken and we're just going with that, then you know that's easier to follow. I think maybe Marcia may have some things she wants to add to that. I'm not sure.
Okay, thank you for that. I'm going to go to Counselor Richardson next.
I'm trying to remember the discussion we had early on this. The big concern I have there is people abuse it. They will leave them by the side of the road, they kick them in ditches, they don't take them in, they don't, whatever. If we go with straight one-on-one replacement, we're going to have them laying around everywhere. That's my opinion. The idea being, you're issued one to start with, given the years and given over a period of time, I've had one for years, beginning of time, I guess, they will get brittle and banged around and so on. But I think it's reasonable to replace one, a given one in a year, that due to accident or anything else. Beyond that, I think you're responsible. In saying that, I thought we had discussed that they simply bring it in. It shouldn't be a pickup or staff have to go and look after it. And if it's a concern of having to deal with them on the lot, they can be left outdoors or whatever. It's just a matter of fact, even if they bring pieces or whatever of it in, it's just a matter of putting some onus onto the people that have them. They provide it for you to start with. We'll give you a replacement. There's always going to be an accident or a time. But you, it's just not going to have to be unlimited.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Councillor Richardson. I think the discussion was, you know, there has to be some responsibility there too. We can't just hand out green cards because they, I mean, they're not cheap. But again, the accountability of it all as well. I mean, we don't want someone coming in and asking for 5 green cards in 1 year, right? But it makes sense that if one has been damaged, that, you know, that we would be able to provide them with a new one. And I've had mine. I had mine for, my heavens, I don't know, since, well, when we first rolled them out. So, Councillor, oh, sorry. Ms. Dion, did you want to speak? I think I saw your hand up earlier when Councillor Richardson was speaking.
That's okay. I'll wait for now.
Okay, thank you. So Councillor Cool and then Councillor Thorburn Irvine, and then I'll go back to Deputy Warden.
Hey, couple of things I looked at here is, number one, I know about the new bills getting it, but like in a case, if I moved and there wasn't one there, when I went there, do I get a free one or do I have to pay for it? That would be one thing. And I've actually had this happen where a 40-foot oak tree actually landed on top of one of my green carts and literally crushed it, which through Hurricane Juan. Mm-hmm. So to go out and have to pay, well, I was in East Hants at the time, and they just simply replaced it. And like, I know there's a list there being broken by a waste truck. I don't know if we ever watch some of these guys putting these things on there. I'm surprised they don't break every time they use them, because they just throw them up there. And then I've gone home and found mine in the middle of the road, wherever, because wherever they get it, they just throw it where they want. That's the waste truck. And being hit by a snowplow, they would be the two reasons I would think they should be replaced at free of charge. Smells bad. I think that's left to the person. They should take care of it and clean it themselves. But the first two should be the ones that we should replace. Something like, you know, something by an act of nature or something like that. Mm-hmm. We should be replacing those, or like by the truck and that. And I would be all in favor. And I know that might cause a little bit of tracking and some things like that. And if somebody was coming every 2 weeks or every 2 months to get a new one, then I think we should charge them. But this is, I don't think it's going to be that way, that they're going to come every week or so to get a new green card. And I think they should be the two things there.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Cool. Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you. Breakage wise, do we have a sense of that type of demand on the resource?
I can only speak for moving from when I first started. Mm-hmm. There was a replacement last year of 130 carts, 90 in the warmer months. You know, when there's bad smells and all of those things. Now, from April 1st to present, January 1st to present, we've only, besides new builds, there's been 24, 4 were new builds.
Yeah.
So we've only distributed 20 carts.
See, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Deputy Warden.
I just want to reiterate that I feel that if they are damaged and that they're broken, we're enforcing that we recycle, we do the best that we can. We have to give the tools to our residents. If it's being abused, by all means, I agree with that we shouldn't be handing them out. If there's not one coming back, we're not giving them another one. But if they're damaged or they're broken, then absolutely we need to make sure that they have the tools needed to do what we're making mandatory in this municipality.
Compost.
Yep.
Councillor Shand.
Agreeing with what Councillor Richardson said, what your statement was exactly what was discussed at the last meeting, was that we would replace them if they were broken,
they did need to return them here to prove they were broken, so that we weren't just giving them out willy-nilly to people, that they needed to return them to the property, and then they would get that one replacement green cart only at that time. That's what the discussion was from our last meeting, for sure.
Yeah, and we did talk about the time, excuse me.
Yeah, we also, like, once every
year.
One every, at one point we said like one a year, and then one another point was one every 5 years, the two that items that were discussed, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for that, CAO.
Thank you, Warden. Marcia is not gonna like me saying this, but what are we gonna do when a senior citizen calls up with a broken cart and doesn't have a truck to bring the broken bin in? Or people just don't have the ability to bring the broken cart back? Because it will happen.
Yeah, it will.
I'm happy to explain how the process works right now, like the way we do it, if that's helpful. So we have a form that gets filled out. So we'll say that a warden calls and says that she needs a new green card, and I write the date, her civic address, whether it's a new build, whether it's a broken cart, a replacement, an extra, and then whether they're paying or not. And then they either arrange to come in to pay for the cart and or pay online. And then most will come in and pick it up. And then we wait for, because most of the carts that are broken, we're finding that it's lids that are loose or a wheel that's off. So we wait until the day that it's dumped. And we wait until like a public works person is in that area. And we say, okay, you take your new cart home, you start using it. And when we're in that area and we have a list, and we will be sure to pick up your green cart. So when we pick up the green cart, it then goes to our C&D site where it's recycled. Versus going in, sometimes what happens is if it goes in the back of the hauler, then that's going as residual waste. So that's why we came up with that operation, because it just worked for us.
Right.
Yeah.
Sound, if it's working, that sounds great. Ms. Dion?
Yes, so I just following up on what Danielle said, I'm really happy overall with how the green carts replacement has been working. It was something that was a sort of management task that I wanted to look at when Danielle started, and she's done a great job of implementing the program. I think the real question becomes not so much how we're going to get the cart back, because we do have a policy in place where you do have to make arrangements to get rid of your old cart. It's more, are we going to charge for the cart or aren't we? And under what circumstances are we going to charge for the cart or not charge for the cart? But the internal procedure of sort of getting the old cart and making sure you have an old cart, I think we have that pretty down pat. Danielle didn't explicitly say it, but she has discussed with me her reservations about asking the public to deliver them to us. As you can imagine, there will be some people that will show up at the admin building with a very dirty compost bin to drop it off. And we, you know, we're not necessarily prepared to hold them here at the admin building. We don't always have staff at Public Works. We would like to actually manage that end of things on our own. So, yeah, I guess I just wanted to clarify that. But overall, I would say it's working very well. And most people are, you know, complying. And with the size of the bins that we have, we do keep some on site at the municipal building, and they're available for pickup. They can fit in your back seat or your trunk. So it seems to be working very well with that part of the internal procedure.
Excellent. Excuse me. It's good to know that that process that you've got in place is working. I mean, that's what we want. And it sounds like it's in the best interest of both staff and the resident. So that's a good thing. Councillor Sutherland.
I just actually looked at it. I have two residents, their green carts have been stolen from the side of the road. So how does that account to it? They don't have a green cart to bring back. They just messaged me and asked me how they go about getting a green card. And I told them to go to the administration office. But the both of theirs I put out the night before, and now they're gone.
Dear.
Well, and I guess that's that hasn't the thing been is... reported to me. I've had that once. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is it was down in the ditch because of wind. Mm-hmm. And they ended up finding it, but I haven't had any reports. I haven't run into that, I guess. Yeah. But okay. It's a good question.
Yeah. And if we've, yeah, I guess we have to decide how, or staff will decide perhaps how to deal with those, because I can't imagine that it's happening all the time. I don't know. I mean, like when I think about green cards, I mean, you live it all every day. But, you know, for me, it's, you know, if someone has a broken card, then to me, let's replace it. If someone is intentionally misusing or destroying it, then, you know, and then this example, I mean, there are so many variables with it that it, I think it would be very difficult to have a policy in place that's going to capture it all.
Well, and that's, I think that is the difficult position. And I think that's why it's like charge or don't, because it runs, there's, how do you police that?
Yeah.
Like, how do you, I mean, for me, my answer, my quick answer to Councillor Sutherland would be that on a one-off, sure, we'll do that. But then if it's historically happening,
exactly,
then we have to revisit it, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. If it's happening once every couple of months, then there might be more of an issue there. But if it's happened once in 10 years, then that's a different scenario.
Right.
Councillor Kuhl.
When that question just came up, my thought was that, first of all, how much is a cart to replace?
I believe it's $53.47, including HST.
Okay, so say around $60 if we went that way. Is that if certain people know that if their cart's got to be bought, why wouldn't somebody just say, I'm going to steal the guys down the road? Mm-hmm. And that could open, it's just a thought. It's just a thought. That's, you know, I'm not going to pay $60. I know I see so-and-so, I see Dale's down there. He's not using it a whole lot. Yeah. I'll just take it out of his, throw it on my truck and take it down. What's the difference? That's just the thought that came.
Yeah, but I think.
I like to think that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, how many times, you know, have we been made aware of it? I mean, I think there are
one always for me and then it was one-offs.
Exactly what Councillor Kuhl is saying, but hopefully the majority, the 99%, of the population aren't going to do that.
I guess what stands out to me is that since the implementation of the fee, the request has been significantly less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But are they still recycling? Do we know that they're putting out some kind of organics?
Mm-hmm. Well, I do get a report every day from GE that tells me, or our contractors that tell me exactly what the infractions are, if there's plastic in their compost, if their garbage is rejected, and I keep track of all of that, and then we pay educational visits.
Right.
So
do they tell you if they have like organics out to the curb?
They don't tell me if they who does and who doesn't. I just have all the infractions. That's it.
Just a comment on the stolen carts. Quite a few years ago, we had that same thing happen into an area. Because it was growing season, they found it easier to cart plants to the woods. Mm-hmm. So if you're seeing two, there's probably 10 that's been stolen, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Councillor Shand.
I guess it really just comes down to, we're either, when someone calls and says their cart is broken, we're saying, yes, we're replacing it, or we don't replace them all.
Yeah.
Across the room, it just need to be,
and whether they're paying like that.
If you call and say your cart is broke, then yes, we will replace it, or we don't replace any.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy to do whatever. I just need to know what the best practice is.
Yeah,
there's too many ifs, ands, and buts of scenarios. Yeah. So it's either if you call and it's broken, or taking your word is broken, we're going to go with the process that Danielle currently has, where someone will pick it up on the next time we're passing by, and you pick up your cart, or we just don't do it.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
Yeah. Do you keep track of, do you have a list of, well, I think you said you do, actually, a list of those that you're you're replacing already.
Yeah, so whenever, someone's replacing your building, I keep the form, the paper form in a file, but I also create a spreadsheet that.
Okay, so you already have.
So I can find, I can find the person of the civic address.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's, so where are we then with this conversation at this point? We know that the internal policy that's being carried out by staff is working.
Mm-hmm.
So are we, are you cold over there, Counselor? Are we asking residents to pay for a card?
I think this is where my supervisor is probably better because she's dealing with like the budgeted stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She could probably better answer the charge part than I could.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, right. So I'm looking at council to see if, first of all, if that's what they want to do. Are we saying that we want to be able to provide the card to the resident free, or are we saying that we want to provide the card and the resident pay? Councillor Richardson, you had your
one first. I'd also start. You get one free to pay from there on. I mean, the proof's in the pudding. If they're satisfied with the system we have, the numbers drop dramatically when they've had to pay. That sort of explains it. So if you, unless you want to pay for abuse.
I don't agree.
Okay, Deputy Warden.
I think they shouldn't pay. And I don't know what you mean by the one green card, if that's for the 30 years you live at your residence or what, but 12 months.
Okay, so you want to put a time period on it. Okay. Deputy Warden, do you have anything else?
I think that if we're going to do this, that they don't have to pay for their green card, the internal policy as your pickup continues, that they don't bring them here. And we're wanting them to make sure that they're recycling and composting and following the guidelines we've put in place. And we have to supply those tools. So unless we see something happening that comes through you, that you see the same person coming, I think that is brought to your management team. And you address that, but as far as somebody calling in saying they need a card, no charge.
Okay, thank you. I have CAO, Ms. Dion, and then Councillor Sutherland.
All right, so I'm just trying to recap here. So it sounds like you're going for alternative one, which is your free card, and then any ones beyond that is paid for, but you need to identify how many years
or not.
For the first one. So one green card replacement will be provided free of charge within every however many years, right?
Are we saying that we want to?
Is that wrong, Marcia? Do you want to jump in?
That's not what I understood from what they said. I understood that they were thinking that they would just give green cards free of charge, and also utilize the current process for returning them or having us pick them up, that we'll continue to monitor with a green card request form. It's just the question would be, there won't be a yearly limit on it. It would either be free or not free, is how I understood the discussion was going. But the reason I had my hand up was just to let you know, with the current inventory of green carts, our annual costs are between $5,500 and $6,000 per year to provide the green carts free of charge. That's with the current level. So if we offer them for free and we have a lot more people coming, and I need to be clear, we do have some people that want to trade their green carts in because they're dirty. You know, we would be providing them free of charge. So that is something to keep in mind. And the cost of green carts may go up, so that cost may increase, but that is what we're looking at currently to provide those carts for free.
Great. Thank you for that. And, you know, I think there would be consensus around the table that just because a green card is smelly doesn't mean that you get a new green card. There are ways that you deal with that. And that's part of the education process. So what I'm hearing, Councillor Sutherland, did you wish to speak?
No, you just answered my what I was going to respond to. I don't think a smelly card or a dirty card is ideal thing for replacement.
Okay, so bringing it back then to the different alternatives that we have here. Sorry, Councilor CAO, did you wish to speak any further on that? No? Okay. So that we're saying then a green cart replacement will be provided free of charge. And the second part of that was that all requests for additional carts beyond one will be subject to a replacement fee. So are we still stating that?
So the only part that's going to confuse me a little bit operationally with that is, how do I keep track of, do I still continue like as I am and then just tell them that it hasn't, like they have to pay for the additional? Because if we're not putting a time limit on their free cart, then how do we determine when they can get a replacement? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they can say that it's missing or gone or broken. Mm-hmm. Like if we're not, like that changes the way we, the delivery, I guess. I guess what I'm thinking is, if we do one replacement cart and choose like for free, mm-hmm. And choose a time frame, then that actually gives us a little bit more time to monitor or keep close track of inventory. That's just a suggestion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that works. And then same thing, all requests for additional carts are free. But
do you feel that would work with what you've got for an internal policy right now?
I know
being able to track it.
I know that really I'll do whatever council wishes me to do, if I'm being honest. I just want it just a clear.
We don't want to make it more cumbersome or anything.
If
like
there's
that,
any little tiny discrepancy, then yeah. I just don't want to do the wrong thing, I guess.
Okay. Deputy Warden, are you finished?
No.
Okay.
I just feel if it's broken and we're using our internal policy to go pick it up, that they're leaving it there and we're picking it up, it's replaced.
Okay.
If we can't, then we have to, like, if it's stolen or they're saying that it's gone, then I think, you know, that one and then additional after that, then they have to pay for it. But if it's broken or destroyed or something, there's some way we need to enforce this so they have the tools to do the organics program.
Okay, clear as mud.
Oh,
Councillor Shand. Councillor Shand, and then Councillor Sutherland.
I know you're saying we're like leaning to alternative three, but I don't think it should state that green carts are free as a whole. It should state that green cart is free for replacement if it is broken, not just because we're just giving them out for free, that you need to call and say, my green cart is broken, I would like a replacement, then we can offer you one for free. So I think that the wording there is not appropriate to just say that we're instructing that green carts are free, because it shouldn't just be, it should be, yes, if you're a new resident, you get your first cart free. After that, if your cart is broken, you can call, fill out the appropriate form, and we can replace your green cart.
Yeah.
End of story.
Okay. And you're not thinking about any time period on it. Just if it's broken, it's free.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to go back to you, Ms. Smith. Just again, does that work with the internal policy that you have now? Because, I mean, before you said all of that, and I mean, just even reading with the staff report, I'm really happy to know that that's how you're handling the mm-hmm. green carts and the replacements and things. And again, that it's really working for both staff and the residents the way that you've decided.
It seems to be, and it seems to be beyond have decided to
take care of it. So, you know, we don't want to cause grief there. Like if it's working, then that's a good thing.
Yeah, as long as that's okay. And, if we're being clear that we're only replacing a free cart if it's broken.
So So I'm going to read out alternative three. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne instructs staff to provide green carts free of charge if broken to municipal property owners. Is that what I'm hearing? Looking around the table and.
You should say civic number.
That's easier to track in case somebody moves.
Civic number.
Okay, so.
The bin technically belongs to the civic number.
Exactly, yeah. So instruct staff to provide green carts free of charge if broken to.
Municipal civic number.
To, does that make sense? To a municipal civic address? Does that make sense?
Free of charge.
Yeah.
Can I just jump in with a suggestion?
Sure.
I just took a minute to write something down, so, and feel free, I'm not the expert at writing motions, but I think maybe where we're going with this is something along the lines of, be it resolved that the municipality of Shelburne, a green cart will be replaced free of charge when a civic number's broken green cart is returned to the municipality and arrangements are made to receive a new cart.
You don't want it returned here.
Yes, but we'll make the arrangements. So in other words, you call us and we'll make the arrangements for it to be returned to us. Right? That's our internal policy part. We don't want them to bring it to us, but we'll make arrangements for it to be returned.
Make arrangements for the new cart to be picked up / delivered and the old cart picked up.
Yeah, I'm just, excuse me, do you mind just repeating that again, just so that everyone is clear as to what?
Yeah, so this is again, feel free to tweak it. So be it resolved that the municipality of Shelburne, a green cart will be replaced free of charge when a civic number's broken green cart is returned to the municipality and arrangements are made to receive a new cart.
We have a time on that?
We were saying no timeline. So I'm just wondering what the difference is between that and what alternative three says.
Use them for football.
Who would have thought green carts?
Staff to provide carts free of charge if broken to a municipal civic address within the municipality. Are we saying the same thing?
Basically, just a different way.
Yep. And I would just change the deliver to request. That way you don't have, if we have residents listening to this, they're not going to deliver their broken green carts here. They're going to request for the replacement.
Well, and is there a way to word it that they make the request to the waste diversion officer to make arrangements for replacement?
So do we need all of that in this motion, though?
No.
I think if we just say instruct staff to provide green carts free of charge if it is broken to a municipal civic address within the municipality of Shelburne, period. And then it's up to staff to, with their internal policy to administer it from there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
And you're still adding the part, any additional carts?
That all requests for additional carts beyond one will be subject to a replacement fee.
Yep.
Okay. So does that make sense to everyone? Councillor Sutherland, you have your hand up. Did you want to add something to that?
No, sorry, I forgot to take it down, but I agree with what you just said.
Okay, so I'll read it one more time so that we're certain on what we're doing here. And poor Danielle. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne instructs staff to provide green carts free of charge if broken to a municipal civic address within the municipality of the District of Shelburne, and two, that all requests for additional carts beyond one will be subject to a replacement fee, period. Do we have it all, that what we're trying to put in place here? Does that make sense? Councillor Cool, did you have a question or comment?
Oh, I would move that motion.
And I'll second it.
Okay, so Councillor Cool moved, Deputy Warden seconded. Okay, any further discussion on this motion? Councillor Richardson, did you want to speak? No? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Now, one thing that I'm wondering, where we are making this a change, well, you'll report back to us on probably one of your quarterly reports with respect to green carts and all of that. So we can look at that at that point. You know, if we're sending out 50 new green carts for replacements or whatever, then, you know, we'll be aware, I guess, of how this, I guess, progresses from here. But I think everyone, other than maybe one councillor who wanted a timeline, I think the oh, we need your, sorry, your mic on. And I guess we.
And I'm not really objecting to the matter. It's people will abuse a system.
Yeah.
That's my only concern. As far as replacing broken carts, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess we'll know, we'll see that in your report. If, you know, like I say, if we're getting a request for 50 in a month or five, I mean, it's going to be pretty telling, I think, moving forward. And you know, if we have to revisit this, we can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you for all of that and for your patience with all of us with this.
Hey, that's fine. Thank you.
Appreciate that very much. Okay. All right. Moving on to responses to tender surplus equipment, and that's Ms. Dion.
So earlier in May, a staff report was presented to council to get permission to declare a lot of the public works older equipment as surplus. That tender was posted on May 14th with a closing date of June 5th. And so there were several items that did not receive compliant bids, however, received non-compliant bids. So the municipality received six non-compliant bids for six flip-top tables, and those bids came from the Shelburne County Arena Association in the amount of $50 per table. We had set, at the CAO's request, the minimum bid for the tables was half of what the cost for us to purchase them was, which was $244.50 plus HST. So the $50 bid was not compliant, but there also were no bids on the tables. So with that in mind, we would like council to discuss and consider providing those tables to the Shelburne County Arena Association. That's an organization that we've supported in the past. And in addition to that, there were no bids at all received for either of the generators, the Honda or the Yamaha. After the close of bidding, the REMO Association reached out to us to say, hey, if you didn't get any bids on those generators and they start, then we would be interested in having them and have them in our trailer to be able to put them out in the event that there was like a wildfire response or something off-site that required a generator. And essentially what they said is, if they work, great, we can use them in the event that we need them. And if they don't work, then we can dispose of them. So I guess what we're wondering is if council will give permission to dispose of the tables to the Shelburne County Arena Association and the generators to the REMO. The other items that did have bids will either be awarded to the highest compliant bidder or disposed of in accordance with our disposal policy.
Okay, thank you for that. There is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that. Councillor Richardson.
Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne approve the request of the Shelburne County Arena Association to purchase six flip-top tables at a price of $50 plus HST each, and that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne approve the donation of a Honda and the Yamaha generator to the REMO.
Thank you for that. Is there a seconder? Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. This item might not garner as much discussion as the previous one. Any discussion on this motion? Hearing none, sorry, Councillor Shand.
So my question is not so much on the motion as the items that didn't have bids, is it worth putting it out to bid again before they're disposed of? Is that a?
Essentially, those items were deemed as surplus because their useful life was at an end, or they were deemed something that was considered an OHS concern within a workplace. So the intent of this request was to clean out our space to allow us to get organized and to meet our OHS compliance. I think that if you're asking for my opinion, I would prefer to dispose of it in accordance with the policy rather than try to garner a bid again. We advertised all items except the flip top table were advertised for $1, a minimum bid of $1, yet didn't garner any responses.
Okay,
so, but that's up to council. I'll do what I'm instructed.
Thank you, Councillor Richardson.
We've supported the arena over the years, and if they can make good use of them, I think it's partially in our benefit. If we look at our formula, and the other one is Remo, they would be beneficial in power outages or any catastrophes. If there's any useful life, then again, I think it's money well spent or equipment well looked after.
Right. Yeah. It's always good to see these items go to a place where they can be used, for sure, utilized. Okay, any other questions or comments regarding this motion? Councillor Cole?
I have just a question. Maybe I need to say this to Ms. Dion. Has there been any agreement or talk with the arena about the $50?
What do you mean, any agreement or talk? They made a bid on the tender.
For $50?
$50 per table. They submitted 6 bids.
Okay.
For 6 different tables.
Okay, no problem. That's all I just needed to know, because if it was just something that we were changing the price or something for that, I would say, why don't we just donate them to them? But I can understand. That's what, but you clarified it, so.
Okay, great. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. Thank you. And then we'll move on to administration, water projects, and that's our CAO.
Thank you, Warden. Council has previously discussed or received presentations on 3 different water projects. First one on my report here is the Onica desalination project. My recommendation to council is that we do not proceed with the Onica. The one sort of paragraph I have in here, I think, sort of spells it out, whereby the minimum annual payments to Onica would be around about $255,000, which would depend on about 26,335 cubic meters of water being sold. The research that we've done here is showing that probably a maximum amount that we would possibly be able to sell would be about 8,000 cubic meters. So you'd end up having to pay for an excessive amount of water that's just not being sold to anybody. It doesn't make any sense to me. We're fortunate in the sense that Barrington are going to be proceeding with putting in an Onica desalination plant. We should be able to get some pretty good data from them over the next year or two, in terms of how many residents are actually using that facility and buying water. And then we could always return to this topic at a later date. Yeah. If it looks like their residents are buying as much as 26,000 cubic meters. So that's my recommendation with regard to the Onica desalination. Did you want to quickly discuss that before we go on to the other?
Sure. I agree totally. I mean, there are just so many variables to it. So many unknowns, and you know, our neighbor is going to go ahead and do it. So let's learn lessons from them. You know, maybe it will be in a couple of years' time that it is the right thing moving forward, but I don't think it is at this point. especially considering the other options that are available for our residents. Any other questions or comments regarding this item? Councilor Richardson?
Well, with us not providing water directly any part in the municipality, I mean, it's through Shelburne. It sort of doesn't make sense because we would actually be supplementing into their system. And I perceive that we're probably still going to have ongoing water issues, and all the indications this year, it's already happening. But I don't think that's a viable option. I agree with you.
It's a lot of money, and we just don't know going to be able to recoup it. $250,000 is 5 cents or more.
Yep.
So, Deputy Warden.
And I agree. Let's use our neighbors as a pilot project to see how they make out in maybe a few years down the road, that if things are still in the conditions they're in with drought, then we can consider it. But right now, I don't think it's in our best interest.
Yeah, and we never know about partnerships moving forward as well. So, okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. I do want to clarify one thing, that the purpose of us considering the desalination was for reasons of providing water for residents in drought conditions. There has been talk within the community that we were doing it because we wanted to provide water for our hydrogen plant. That is not the case.
Oh my gosh, I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. moving on to the community well project. So this goes back more than a couple of years. So council has a previous motion that's still in effect that supports the project. The project is moving forward. The report that you see there as an attachment is the original report we received from SEED with the costs back then, like 2 years ago. So SEED right now are proceeding with updating the costs and confirming their funding from the provincial government. We don't have a part to play in that at all. The arrangement that we have is that SEED will build and fund the building of that community well, and also make the arrangement for the province to transfer the ground to the municipality from the NSCC. Our obligation at that point in time will be to then operate the plant. The budget aspect of this is our very high level estimation of what it might cost us is around about $25,000 or so. But I want to qualify that by saying this is just the best guess, an educated guess. We've never operated a well before, so that number could vary up and down depending on what the real costs are. The well would only be open from around about April to around about November, December. So it wouldn't be operating over the winter months, but we'd have to keep the building heated so that the equipment inside doesn't get damaged. The motion also takes into account that we will be doing this in partnership with the town, the partnership being that we will own the facility, we will cover all operating costs and maintenance costs, but the town will be providing their water operator in kind, as a contribution in kind, who will actually operate the facility, the filtration unit, and take the water samples and make whatever filings are necessary to the Department of Environment. So the motion that we have there covers that. Maybe what we could do now before I go into the next project is for that council maybe to ask any questions or go into discussion on this community well.
Yeah, I just have a couple of comments to make. I know Councillor Richardson and I would have been pretty involved when this first, when it first came to the municipality as a request. And back then they had the amount that they thought it was going to cost for this well, but they did say that there could be a shortfall and that they may be asking the municipality for a little help, I guess. So I think at the time, and I'm looking to Councilor Richardson, but I think at the time it was like $10,000 or something like that. But we don't know at this point if there would, if there's going to be any type of shortfall. I mean, there's a lot of work taking place behind the scenes to figure all of that out. But I just wanted to put that out there because I do remember very clearly them stating that, you know, there could be a small shortfall. And if so, would the municipality be willing to provide assistance? And the other was just in the motion with the town of Shelburne, mentioning the town of Shelburne providing the water operator services and monitoring and all of that. There seemed to be a bit of question as to whether or not all of those services were going to be in kind. And I'm not sure if that got settled.
My last discussion with the CIO for the town was that that would be in kind. Wonderful. And that's why the motion is worded as it is.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you for that clarification. I think I had Councilor Shand first and then Councilor Richardson.
My question was pretty much based on what you had said, Penny, that the piece where what the town is responsible for. So like if we pass this motion and then we want to move forward and then we find out that the town, like, do we have something legally in writing that saying that this is their part that they are doing? Like, even if we approve this motion, can we not participate in this if they decide that they're not going to do that in kind? And then in turn, they're expecting something more from us.
Yeah, the idea is that the town is at their next meeting is going to pass a similar motion. So we won't have an agreement with them, but we'll have matching motions or as matching as we can get.
Excellent. Thank you for that. Councilor Richardson and then Councilor Thorburn Irvine.
You taxed my memory and it's not very good these days. Because if I remember correctly, it's probably been 4 years or more that we did work on this. And yes, at those stages, because we changed how we were setting it up and how long it was going to operate it. And I think we projected a lot of those costs. We were going to operate 12 months a year, which would have meant snow clearing and salting and all of that, plus the heating. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that costs are certainly going to go up and but it will be good to see it. And I think it's a good thing for the community at large. If they, a lot of people need, we have other alternatives, I think, in the pipe for large quantities. Mm-hmm. But not everybody's going to go with 2,000 gallon or 1,000 gallon containers. So
not everyone can afford go and purchase water.
Yeah. And the other part is I believe we are removing the taste of the chlorine, if I'm not mistaken. That was the original design. It would go through a filter system that would take it back out. In other words, it's just as pure. It just takes that taste and smell of it.
Yeah, I believe there was some type of a filtration system. And I believe they also wanted to use solar power as well. So I don't know what the actual design is at this point, but that was definitely what had been discussed previously. Councillor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you. So I do like this project. I love the idea of the partnership between the municipal units and responding to the needs of our collective residents. And I see on the report, it doesn't, you're alluding to it. It's not meant to be a bulk facility for water. Is there any idea of what will be allocated to meet people's needs?
There is going to be, I don't know what the technical term is, but it'll restrict the amount of water that you can take. So you can't sit there and continuously take water out of the system and fill a large cubic meter container.
So is this a self-serve?
This is a self-serve. Okay. And it's free. Okay. And it's for people who have got jugs of drinking water.
That's right.
And it's different than the next project we're going to discuss, which is a bulk water where people are looking for a bulk amount of water, but they're going to be paying for it. And there's also a minimum payment charge of $50 for that one. So they're very different. I think the two work well hand in hand. So people who are in desperate need of drinking water, it's free. But if you want bulk water for, let's say, filling up your cistern or something like that for washing or bathing and that type of thing, you're going to pay for it.
Okay, thank you for that. There is a prepared motion, and if someone would like to make that at this point.
Which one you want to do first, community well?
Yeah, we'll do the community well, and then we'll have discussion on the next one. Councillor Cool.
Be resolved that the Council of the Municipality of District of Shelburne affirm its support for the Shelburne Community Well Project and approve in principle an agreement whereby ownership of the completed community well facility will be transferred to the municipality upon completion of construction, with the municipality assuming responsibility for annual operating costs and the town of Shelburne providing certified water operator services, water quality monitoring, sampling, and regulatory reporting as an in-kind contribution.
Thank you. Is there a seconder?
I'll second that motion.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. I'm very happy to see that passed. Next, CAO.
Thank you. So the next is the bulk water fill station that's being proposed by the town of Shelburne. As per the presentation by the town at the last council meeting, that would be a project that would be incorporated under their licensing by the NSRAB. And it will also be regulated by the NSRAB in terms of the charges to residents. There will be a $50 minimum charge, and then a charge per liter on top of that, or per gallon. I'm not too sure what they're going to be charging, but the idea here is that we will contribute an equal amount to the town for the capital and setup of the project. And it's going to be based on what the grant success is that they apply for. So it could either be a contribution of 20,000, or it could be as much as 62,500, depending on the success or not success of any applications that they put in. So the motion is set up in such a way that we'd contribute up to 62,500, which would cover both options. The operating costs would be entirely covered by the town. Because it is a water utility, they have to operate it in a break-even manner. So whatever they charge is going to cover their operating costs on that. We would have no obligation at all to contribute to operating costs.
Okay, thank you for that. And again, there is a prepared motion if someone would like to make that.
I'll make the motion.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, sorry. Be it resolved that the Council of the Municipality of the District of Shelburne support participation in the proposed bulk fill water station project and approve a municipal contribution of up to a maximum of $62,500 from the operating reserve and expensed through 00-21210-300, subject to the receipt of external funding, final project approvals by the Town of Shelburne, and the execution of any required partnership agreements.
Thank you. Is there a seconder, please?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the motion? And we do have in our budget a CAO amounts to cover both of these projects, correct?
Yes, we've got a
627 budget.
That's correct. We've got a budget for water projects of I think it was 125,000. Which will cover this.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. Councillor Richardson.
Just that I think it goes hand in hand with the other project. I had two residents locally report they've had wells go dry this last week. And the cost of bringing in water, usually I think the nearest service has been up in Pubnico. And it's upwards of $500 per load. So hopefully this will be a little more beneficial and closer, and it's trucking cost. It's a killer also.
Yes.
So I think it probably, we will find it will be well used.
And it's potentially a new business in the area as well. Councilor Shand?
I fully agree with this whole project as well. I think it's really great. My only thing is the piece that says the execution of any required partnership agreements, if that were, we're going to state that we are not paying any additional than what we have stated here, like if something breaks, or I know the town's presentation said that they would be covering those costs, but we are going to put that in writing, correct? That.
Yeah, I would think that there will be agreements in place for these projects.
We've already got it in writing. We've already got it in writing from the CAO, but it wouldn't be a problem to put a short letter agreement in place. But it's also backed up by the wording of our motions as well.
Need to see us in either of these projects get in a year's time, the town come back and say, now whatever has happened, and we can no longer keep either of these facilities going because we don't have the funds to do that. So, and us then be on the phone.
Yeah, the bulk boiler station is different because it's actually a water utility. So it has to operate independently, and it has to operate within its own means. In other words, they have to charge for the water that they're selling to cover their operating costs. And they have a reporting requirement to the NSRAB on that. So that, you know, we can have a letter agreement that covers it off without any problem, but we have the added security of the fact that then SRAB manage that process and will not require us to contribute to it.
Okay, thank you for that. And it has been moved and seconded. Anything further? Any other discussions, questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. And again, really happy to see council approve that as well. All right, we're going to now go to committee reports and warden update. Any committee reports to discuss this evening? Councilor Thorburn Irvine.
Thank you. So along with our warden, I attended the June 11th port committee meeting. On the 16th, there were several of us that would have attended the grad breakfast, so that was always, it's always nice to participate in that. June the 17th, there was an NRCAN, I don't know how I want to pronounce that acronym, intermunicipal learning session. So NRCAN, it's not how you pronounce it, that's a drug, is the Natural Resources Canada Climate Resilient Coastal Communities Project. And there's a gathering of many municipal units, and there's discussion led by consultants. It's very, very good. It's done in a group setting around climate adaptation, and so municipal units learning from one another. So that's that. That was on the 17th, and it's set up by Emily Cohen. And AMANS is part of that as well. AMANS is part of that. Yes. So it's very good. And then June 18th is the West. We did have a Western County Regional Library Board. It's our last meeting of the year. And so it's three meetings in one. And so there was that was conducted. And our Regional Library Board continues on its path to have a consultant familiar with everyone here, Davis Peer. So they're going to be giving us consultation, and so we'll be following their lead in terms of how we interface with the provincial government on sustainable funding. Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you. So Shand,
I didn't attend any other, but I did attend the Clean Foundation public event the other evening, which was actually very interesting. They didn't have a great turnout at first, but we were having Czar next door, so I drug all the firefighters over, and a few of the DNR staff were there, so they were able to fill out a very full map for them, for all of the places that have drought, all the places that are concerned for wildfire erosion. They were able to get a pretty good drawing. The firefighters were taking the markers and marking up their maps to could be very clear on the areas that they need to work on, so it actually turned out to be a good turnout that they got some really great feedback for. And I also attended the grad breakfast was really great to get to do this year. And I attended the went to the museum garden party as well.
Oh, good.
Which was very, very nice. Event was really nice to see. They had a lot of people, staff, dressed in character, which was actually, it was a really, really cute event. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the pictures of it and I had completely forgotten about it. I didn't have it in my planner. So happy that you were able to attend. Any other committee reports? So for my update, a couple of them have already been mentioned. With Councillor Thorburn Irvine, I attended my very first Port Authority meeting on June 11th, and had lots of questions and they were very patient with me. So a number of items discussed and I'm looking forward to the next meeting, which I believe is going to be in the fall. And then again with Councillor Thorburn Irvine and Councillor Shand and Deputy Warden and myself. And let me think here, Mayor Tammy and yes, Councillor Acker. Yes, we all met and cooked, a great breakfast for the Shelburne Regional High School grads. It's a lot of fun. And on the 18th, we went, Deputy Warden and I went to Lockport to the, to prepare breakfast for the Lockport grads. And that was held at the Legion. And the president was there, Dave Holdaway. The mayor was there and Councillor Chetwin was there for a few moments, but then I think she had a medical call or something. And the town clerk as well. So, but both were lots of fun. The grads, I think they seem pretty excited, probably a little bit of anxiety there as well, but for the most part excited, I think, about walking across that stage next Monday. June 17th, the municipality hosted the Shelburne County Leadership Meeting. This morning, I attended the CBDC AGM along with our CAO, which was held at the Sandy Point Lighthouse Community Center and gave remarks on behalf of the municipality. The CBDC had another, I would say, successful year. Just a couple of stats here. There was approximately $4.9 million in loans approved, 265 new jobs created and maintained, and about 127 clients receiving training. So they're doing a lot of great work in the community throughout the county. So congratulations to them and best wishes for another successful year. And then this afternoon, I attended the audit committee meeting along with Councillor Richardson, with Doan Grant Thornton presenting the financial statements for the municipality for 2025-26, and recommended motions from the committee will be brought forward at our July 8th council meeting. Tomorrow, tomorrow evening is the Town of Shelburne's town hall meeting regarding water testing results of the South End community and Morven Road dump. And it's being held at the Shelburne Community Center and begins at 6 p.m. This Friday evening, Councillor Shand and I will attend the Paint the Town Red Gala taking place in Barrington. And that's being held to raise funds for a portable ultrasound machine for the community health clinic in Barrington. And next Monday, I will attend the Lockport and Shelburne graduation ceremonies. I always look forward to those. Again, it's wonderful to see those students, those grads cross that stage and just see the happiness of doing so. It's quite a milestone for them. All right, it is now 7:13 and I will ask for a motion to go in camera, please. Thank you. Is there a seconder?
Seconder.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. We need a motion.
We go out of camera.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're going out of in camera at 7:35. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. Motion is carried. And it is 7:35 p.m. and we will adjourn our meeting. Thank you.